Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I wanted to spend just a little bit of time kind of talking about the end times and more of a philosophical than a specific scriptural approach. As I've been studying through, again, eschatology a little bit. And, you know, there's four major views that have been popularized over the years. And some are more popular now than they have been. And, you know, some have fallen out of popularity. And, of course, the first and the most popular one in our modern era is the pre-tribulation rapture. You know, our world's going to go along, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, with no signs or any expectation, all of a sudden, people are going to vanish, and then this starts a seven-year period of tribulation. Now, there is another view which carries that a little bit further, where this period of tribulation starts, and then exactly halfway through that, then this rapture occurs, and then it moves into the rest of the tribulation. So you have this tribulation, you have exactly halfway through, and then you have your events. And then you have another one where the tribulation is going on, and then midway through this tribulation, there is a rapture, and then at that point in time, the wrath of God starts coming down, whereas the tribulation and the wrath of God are different, although the latter parts of the tribulation may contain the wrath of God as the believers are pulled out. And then, of course, the fourth view carries with it the post-tribulation, which contains that people are, you know, the tribulation goes on and then everyone comes out. So there's some discussion. Right now in our modern era, the most popular in Western Christianity by far is the pre-tribulation rapture. And then we also, though, have a little bit more popularity. There's some popularity with amillennialism, that there will not be any millennial reign as well. That's the general view held in the Presbyterian churches and maybe a few other people. And I think the other one that has maybe the most support right now is more of a mid-trib, where you go halfway through the tribulation and then there is a rapture. Now, this carries with it a couple of fundamental questions. Number one, in the pre-tribulation rapture, we have a definitive sign as to exactly when this tribulation period starts. The people are all raptured out, and then all of a sudden this period of tribulation occurs. The challenge with all of your other views is you may not know exactly when that tribulation starts to kick itself off. And what is the scriptural basis for all this? Well, if I've dug into this several times and I've read the various scriptural bases, and I'll be honest, I cannot find the pre-tribulation rapture in the scripture. There's a few single individual verses which can point to it. But for the most part, we are not promised much of anything. In fact, Matthew 24 and the parallel passages, which are going to be Luke 21 and Mark 13, I think, are the parallel passages. They all paint a very different picture, where there is this great sorrow, which you can see as the tribulation, because they ask him, when are these things coming? Now, fundamentally in this is that second coming of Christ, the final Armageddon battle, or is the second coming of Christ the point when the rapture occurs? So implicit in all of this, that second coming is the return of Christ to collect his believers. So let's go ahead and accept that premise without thinking about the other alternative for it, for the sake of argument here. The challenge that we have is the disciples come and they ask, what will be the signs of the end? Now, even in the pre-tribulation rapture, let's assume that you think my prior assumption is horrible. Matthew 24 still completely discounts the pre-tribulation rapture. Whether that's talking Armageddon or the rapture, he makes it very clear there is a ton of suffering and great disturbances in the world prior to Christ returning, prior to the end. As you read through that section of scripture over and over, it is a series of chronologicals. It is then and then after that and then during this and then finally the end will come. And so we find Christ actually giving us a plenty of evidence, plethora of evidence, as it were, that the pre-tribulation rapture is simply not scriptural. And I think that where it has become popular, and the problem with it is that it has become popular because, well, I mean, the reason it's become popular is because it is so forced on all elements of our culture. It's kind of like, look at postmodernism. The older generation, the oldest generations, are not necessarily bought into this idea that everybody just has, you know, the whole world is entirely up to the subjective opinions of individual people, all right? But our modern younger culture, they were so indoctrinated and so grown into this viewpoint that they cannot see a world with has any form of objectivity in it at all, which is why we have people who get confused about what gender they are, despite it's the most long-running objective thing the human race has ever known, okay? Going back generations and generations from the dawn of time. So ultimately, the teaching in the Western Christianity for a couple hundred years has been the implicit assumption that the pre-tribulation rapture is what it is. But just prior to that, it didn't exist. And that's the funny part about it. Now, that is ultimately the why. But the teaching happens to be one of a matter of comfort. Of course, we live in this world that seeks comfort above all things. Well, the scripture itself does not place comfort beyond the ultimate rest in Christ. And the ultimate rest in Christ is in that period of glorification. That is when we are promised comfort. He does not promise us comfort prior to that. He does promise we will not experience God's wrath, but is the tribulation God's wrath? I argue not all of it, at least not most of it. And so we would be open to that, especially since we find over and over in the scripture, it's those who persevere who are saved. Now, this brings with it the fundamental deception question. Let's suppose for a brief moment, just suspend your idea of a pre-tribulation rapture. Let's suspend that idea for a moment. Let's assume that everyone thinks this, but that's not really how it happens. Now what happens is the end comes, great sorrows, great tribulations, Christians are thrown in jail, everyone hates a Christian, kind of like now, really, honestly. You know, the praying grandma was just sentenced to time in jail for, you know, walking into the Capitol after, you know, everyone else did, and the police didn't stop anybody or didn't make any effort to hold the doors open for people. They come on in, and they sentence her to jail. They sentence people to jail for protesting at abortion clinics. Of course, news has just come out because of Kamala Harris, of course, running for president, where she did not prosecute people who were selling aborted fetus parts, which is highly illegal, regardless of the abortion state. It is highly illegal to sell the body parts of the aborted babies. Instead, she went through, in a matter of corruption, she didn't do anything about those guys, but she did prosecute the journalists who uncovered the illegal crime, who, of course, were believers. So we're seeing over and over right now in a world where Christians are being persecuted, just as Matthew 24 says it's going to happen. But let's assume that you think pre-tribulation rapture is the truth, but it's not, and all of these terrible things start happening. Well, you may have just gotten people to think there really is no God. This is why it says, if possible, they will even deceive the elect. Now, I believe it's not possible to deceive the elect, but you can cause some serious questioning in their minds. And that in and of itself is a problematic and a challenging thing. And so we have a philosophical problem with that viewpoint to suggest that the pre-tribulation rapture is a thing, especially in light of our world that is getting worse. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing the many earthquakes, but even Jesus says that's not yet the beginning. This is just the beginning of sorrows in the King James, the beginning of birth pains in most other translations. And as it gets in and talks about these things, he goes into many people will be persecuted for their faith. He goes into the gospel must be preached in the world, and then I will return. But the question is all these things happening before Matthew 24, is this part of the tribulation or not? And that is what it looks like, especially as well as it lines up with the seals in Revelation. Yes, it looks like that's the tribulation, meaning that the pre-tribulation rapture does not appear to be accurate. So we get this discussion. My point being with this is we have to study it, and we also have to recognize it talks about many signs, many warnings. It doesn't say that all of a sudden, with no sign, wonder, or anything else, everybody's going to vanish. No, it says walk in the light, and it says look for the various signs. It wouldn't be telling us to look for the various signs if we had no evidence of any such thing coming. However, we have to stop and question what's going on with the fact that we can't know what it is. We can't ever pin down an exact date. And this is why I think we can't pinpoint the exact start of the tribulation. It said in this nebulous, this is when sorrows begin. In other words, at any point in time right now, we could be at the very beginning of the tribulation. We just don't know it yet, because I don't think we will see that until hindsight. But of course, there will be the sign of a highly charismatic world ruler. And honestly, it looks like they're trying to establish something like that right now. If you look at all the various things and what WEF and a few other guys and groups are trying to accomplish. I'm not saying it's Kamala. What I am saying, though, is that I think we're right on that cusp, but we won't know exactly when the start of all this is until hindsight. So we have to be more cautious about it, and certainly we have to question this idea of the pre-tribulation rapture, and we should question any doctrine which is simply implied without any form of discussion. So dig into your scriptures, read the various arguments, read somebody's arguments that are the views opposing to yours, see if you can't come up with a little bit of discernment. I talk about that many times. Discernment comes from considering different viewpoints and doing the study yourself and coming to your own conclusions rather than blindly listening to somebody in the pulpit or somebody who wrote a book. So with that, guys, thank you for watching. You can have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com, for some other resources and other videos and things like that. With that, thanks for watching. I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support. Or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.